Hello and welcome to the podcast Play Loose, Look Tight, Documenting the Process of Life After. I'm your host, Daniel McQueen. Welcome to the pod.
Hey, so I wanted to do a time and a place for this episode just because I know the interview was done with Yara a little while ago before COVID was up, and now it's kind of grounded in where we are at the moment. So it's January 16th today. The vaccine started to roll out across the world. Started out in the UK about last month. It's also been a second variant of the COVID-19 virus that's kind of been ripping through the population and causing havoc. We've entered back into a lockdown in the UK. So very much, it's still very much a clear and present danger, which is frustrating because they got to go into lockdown again, which means all the businesses have got to close. And I really empathize with the businesses, man. Like, I really think it's difficult for them to keep it going. Forced into lockdown, and it just sucks, man. It's just tough. I think everyone thought 2021 was going to be a onwards and upwards kind of vibe, and it's been a rough start to the year so far. So that's where we're at today. Yes, but a wise old sage once told me, control the controllables. I joke, I tease. That was an expression from a couple episodes ago. I didn't come up with that one, but I think it's a pretty good way to live life. I can't do anything about this. Don't worry about it. Move on. Frustrating, yes. Debilitating, no. So we have the lovely Yara who joins us for an interview today. We hear about her story, the hand she was dealt, and just how she chooses to approach life. Her perspective is so valuable. She chooses to view things from an optimistic viewpoint. I think it's extremely admirable, extremely good way to look at life and approach this illness that she's got, which actually dovetails nicely into our hack for the week. It's like the third time I've screwed that bloody thing up, which is constructive optimism. So we'll talk about how I approached learning to walk and tooting, how it goes from the worst place to learn how to walk to the best place. And just how this perspective really changes your way to be and who you are. And how it kind of permeates everything. Lastly, we finish off with an expression. Well, we got two expressions this time. I know I keep throwing different kinds of smoke your way with the expressions, but these are two that are kind of related. And they're housed in my motivation. Where my motivation comes from. And this is a pretty dark place, to be honest. We'll learn about how this dark place and kind of these ways that I harness moment or the expressions. But it's transitioned from this dark place to now helping people, lending a hand. So we're not still in the darkness and the shadows. Hope you enjoy the episode. So I want to thank Pete and Jess for introducing me to Yara. Thank you so much for the introduction. If you guys know someone that you think would be a good fit for this podcast, please reach out and let me know, and they may get featured on an episode upcoming. Hey, just a heads up, this episode's going to have some language. So if that's going to bother you, maybe give this one a pass.
So Yara, welcome to the podcast, Play Loose, Look Tight. I wanted to have a chat with you about yourself. I think you got a very interesting story, and I think a lot of people are going to be interested to know what's your story and who you are. And I guess maybe we just start off with who you are and how long you've been living in London for.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I am Yara, and I am 32 years old now, and I've been living in London since 2011, so 8 years.
And where do you hail from?
From Germany.
Deutschland. Where in Deutschland are you from?
Berlin, actually.
Berlin.
Yes. East Berlin.
East Berlin. So, okay, so you've been in London for 8 years. I've been in London for about 8 years as well. Mm-hmm. I guess now I'd like you to dive into, you know, what exactly medical stuff. You've had some very unique medical situations in your life. What's exactly happened, or what you were born with, and how has it kind of been rectified?
Well, I was born with a condition called tricuspid atresia, which is a heart condition, which basically means that only half of my heart is working properly, I have a univentricle, and so I've had several open heart surgeries in my life to deal with this. It's a situation that cannot really be fixed. It's something that can be managed, but you can never really fix it because you cannot fix this heart the way it is built in me completely. Half the side, like half of the heart, is simply not developed, right? Or it was built in the wrong way when I was a baby and my mom was pregnant with me. Nobody knows where it came from. It just happened.
Yeah.
And my parents lived a very healthy life, so there's no reason why this should have happened to them. There's no history of medical or heart conditions in my family. I'm the only one, but I was very lucky to have been born in Germany and Berlin at a time where medicine was advanced enough to treat this. And
yeah, I want to know, yeah, Pete was telling me just before you came over that you had like a very unique and progressive heart surgery when you were born. What exactly was that?
I had a Fontan procedure where the way the blood circulates through the body has been changed. So now, because the pumping function of my heart is very low, because there's only half a heart that really works properly, so only half the power, kind of. And the way the body is the blood is circulated through the body is limited for me. They had to reconstruct the heart, and it's they reconstructed it in a way that the blood is only dripping into the lung, basically, and not pumped forcefully into the lung. So the blood gets oxygenated very slowly, and that has an impact on me, obviously, because my oxygen level, the oxygen saturation in my blood, is very low. It's constantly at maybe 78%, which is crazy low for healthy people.
What's a normal oxygen level?
You would have
99%, okay. Yeah.
And if you had even just 85, you would be lying on the floor. Your body could not deal with it. And my body got used to it. And
so you can adapt.
I can adapt. But one side effect, for example, is that my lips are often very blue. My fingertips are blue. I'm often, just quite blue, the skin, because there's not enough oxygen. And of course, the organs don't get enough oxygen. And so long term, that's a problem because it could lead to organ failure eventually. But my body got used to it, and I am doing pretty well, surprisingly.
Well, you are. You're doing fantastic. I think like that's something. When I first met you, I was told about this, and I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's hard to notice because there's nothing on the outside that shows straight away that something inside is wrong, obviously. And yes, I do have a lot of scars, but I mean, you don't see someone naked at the first meeting, so it's quite
generally
rare.
That's how it works, yes, yeah.
Rarely that is the case. So there's no clear sign why I should be sick or anything. But I notice it, for example, when I'm, like now, I'm walking up a hill fairly quickly. I cannot talk at the same time. I don't have the oxygen. I don't have the power to walk and talk at the same time. It's just too much, you know? So I need to either do talking or walking, but not do both at the same time. Both of them, yeah.
Well, Yara, I think that's like a pretty, first of all, that's an insane injury and condition that you've been born with and you've had to persevere through. Like, I think that's phenomenal. But I would have never guessed it because you're just a happy and like light person. Like, you seem to enjoy life very much. Maybe could you speak to how the mindset you live life by has, I mean, what mindset do you live life by and how do you kind of approach it?
I am approaching life in a very optimistic way, which is a choice I've made. And for me, optimism is the only way to deal with it, because otherwise I would be depressed the whole time. Yeah. Because it is a situation I cannot change. It is something that was given to me by the universe, and I can only make the most of it. And I have lived with this all my life, so it's the only way I know life.
Yeah.
And so you cannot compare to anything else. And I mean, what you're going to do? You're going to pity yourself? No. So
yeah, I have Yara, to be that's optimistic. Awesome. I think that's such a cool mindset. And I think something I really admire about you, and I think something that people could learn a lot about, is like the way you look at your injury is everything. Like, I was reminded of this the other day, like, the golden rule, it's called, and it's like, it doesn't matter what hits you, it's how you react to it, or how you view what's hit you.
Yes.
Which is everything. And like you said, like, your number came up, you were given this horrible hand, this horrible condition.
Yeah.
And you've chosen to look at it from a very positive and optimistic way, and I think that's allowed you to get quality of life.
Yes.
If I maybe speak for you, is that...
No, that's absolutely true. And I think for a long time, I didn't even really think about it as a child, as a teenager. It was just who I am. And if that's the only life you know, or the only way of life you know, then that's what it is. And especially as a child, you don't want to stand out. You don't want to be different. You want to be just like everyone else. So you try even harder to keep up.
Yeah.
And... as a child, you don't think about time and how is this going to affect my work or my relationships and all that. But when I had operations as a child, I would forget this because it's when you were really young, so you forget about these experiences.
Yeah.
Nobody can remember what they did when they were 4 years old. But when I had operations when I was 20 years, or not 20, 28 years old, you're an adult and you reflect a lot more and you think a lot more critically.
Yeah.
And that's when I changed my mindset even more, I think, or not changed, but formed it even stronger, I guess, because it made me realize how valuable my time is. I realized I was going into hospital to have a preventive open heart surgery to make sure I can continue the active life I've been leading so far. I needed this operation to make sure my heart can keep up the good work it had been doing for so long. But I've had the operation, and then the next day, you feel like shit because, of course, the operation has such a huge impact on you and it takes forever to get back onto your feet.
I can only imagine. That's...
But it gives you the... It shows you how valuable time is. Like, from 1 second to the next, you can be sick, like really sick and helpless, and you need assistance with everything. And so it showed me how valuable my time is. And I, since then, I think I built this very strong outlook on life that I want to make the most of my time, because nobody really knows how long we all have, obviously, but when you have a medical condition, your life is even more impacted. And I don't know, maybe I'm going to outlive everyone, but I want to make as much of my time as I can.
I think that's really honorable and very, like, very good way to look at life, because obviously you've dealt with some serious adversity here. And I think the way you've handled yourself is really commendable.
Thank you.
And something I think a lot of people can learn a lot from is just looking at life from this glass half full kind of optimistic viewpoint, I think is very key.
Yep.
I know you also have a blog, the Optimistic Heart blog, if I'm right?
Yes, Optimistic Heart.
Optimistic Heart. Is that on Instagram? Is that
Instagram, yes. Optimistic Heart blog is on Instagram. And then a WordPress blog.
Cool. And you can anywhere other, where else can these guys find you? Are you on Twitter at all?
No, I'm just doing Instagram and the blog. I decided not to do Twitter or Facebook because it would be too much. I have enough to do with Instagram. I really like the visual aspect of it.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of traffic from Instagram to my blog. That's where I have a huge community. And within this whole heart community, I think my profile on Instagram is one of the biggest ones, which I was very surprised about. Like, but I started it as a passion project and more something like self-therapy, you know, like after my last hospital stay in 2015, I just needed a diary to write down stuff, basically, and I decided to make it public and wanted to write down my thoughts, and that's why I started this blog. And I chose to do Instagram with it to get the word out.
The visual element.
Yeah, and just to spread the word more, and lots of people are getting in touch now.
Has it been pretty therapeutic for you, this whole experience? Like, putting the blog out?
Yes. Yeah, definitely, because writing it down helps a lot.
Yeah, and do you find that people really resonate with what you say and be like, hey, I felt the same way about this too?
Yes. And what I've noticed the most is that people with similar conditions, they just want someone to talk to. They don't even want so much advice because everyone became an expert in their own condition already. You know, like when you've lived with this for so long, you become a expert kind of in the field because you spend so much time with it. But it's really hard to talk to people who don't have a condition like this. They don't understand it. They're trying and they're there for you, but it's different to talk to someone who has a similar condition and who really understands what you're going through. And so I noticed that most people who are heart patients, they just want someone to talk to and just share the same struggles and maybe ask a question sometimes, and you can get answers from other people about medication and so on. And it's just helpful to talk to people who have been in the same situation.
I think that's really admirable and really, really impressive.
Thank you very much. I
Any
appreciate it.
final thoughts you'd like to share with our community here? We're trying to harvest a community of people that are focused on adversity, bound through hardship, perseverance, and continuous improvement. I'm just kind of curious, do you have any final words you'd like to share with the audience? Ways
I
to live
think,
life?
I don't know if I'm wise enough to call it wisdom, but I
Share a
think
little bit, share a little bit.
for me, one of the most, how do you call it, a saying or a phrase I read was, "You don't know how strong you are until your only option is to be strong." It resonated with me quite a lot because
Yeah, I
we
like that.
literally don't know how strong we are until it's our only option, because not like giving up is never an option. We have to
No,
fight through it,
exactly.
and we are a lot more resilient than we think we are. And there's a lot to live for, and you can find joy in lots of small things. And even if your body doesn't allow you to do certain things like certain sports or traveling or something, there's always something that's definitely worth living for. And I find it really hard to, I find it really helpful to connect with people who are in a similar situation, just to bounce off ideas, maybe vent or talk about an experience, and they get it. They've been on the same in the same situation. And so don't be just in your room and be sad.
A
Talk to
recluse,
people
yeah.
who are in a similar situation, reach out, and there are actually way more people affected by a similar situation like you out there, and it helps a lot to share the pain.
That's very well said, Yara. Thank you. You can follow her on Optimistic Heart blog
Yes.
and on Instagram, the same subject or same
Yes,
title.
Optimistic Heart Block on Instagram.
Well, Yara, thank you so much for your time.
Now we have the episode's hack, which fits nicely into Yara's viewpoint and optimism. So the hack on today's episode is constructive optimism. And for this, I take you back to the Wolfson in Tooting Broadway. Oh, Tooting Broadway. So remember, I was in a wheelchair for a few months, learning how to walk. I had to wear a splint for 1 hour every night on my left leg. It was bloody horrific, man. Let me tell you. That splint was fine the first time. I don't know what happened, but after an hour, like I was just like, my leg was spasm. I would like bite my arm to distract myself from the pain. It was absolutely atrocious. So I had to wear that, build up the strength, the flexibility in my leg, and then I would start walking the Zimmer frame, which is a four-post grate that you use to walk in the hallways, and I would walk the hallways of the Wilson. Now I moved up from the Zimmer frame to the Ferrari, which was this red walker that they use, I guess, for elderly people, but it rolls fast, man. It's got wheels, it goes fast, so I could pick up some speed. It was pretty cool. And I moved from the Ferrari to naked walks, which is what I called walking without supporter aids in the parking lot of the Wilson. So I'm gradually ramping this up, right? And then it came time to go for an actual walk. An actual walk, my God. With a cane in Tooting Broadway. I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. This is great. What a great experience. I walked for my first time in Tooting Broadway, and I was just gobsmacked.
What a dumpster fire. It is so busy. People just brush past you. They don't respect you. They don't give a shit. And I was taken aback by this. Like, it really shook me. This is the worst place to learn how to walk, man. People don't respect your the cane, your eye patch. It's like, come on, give me a break. I'm trying to walk here, man. They don't respect it. They don't care. And it was frustrating, man. It was really frustrating. I was learning to walk, and I was just like, you know what? This place sucks to walk. And one day, I'm not sure what it was, but it's this perspective change that I had. I went from this being the worst place to learn how to walk to this being the best place to learn how to walk. The best place to learn how to walk, because people brush past you. It's crowded, it's busy, it's dirty, it's a dumpster fire of a sidewalk. Let me tell you, I still have not the fondest memories of Tooting from this area, but that change in perspective from this is the worst place to learn how to walk to this is the best place to learn how to walk, because if I can walk here, well, damn it, I can walk anywhere. So every day became not about facing challenges, but like the opportunities to learn here and to improve on that, because if I can do this here, I can do this anywhere. So I began looking forward to my walks and what I would encounter and the situations I would navigate through and walk around and use the cane. And it became a learning opportunity, and it just made life a lot lighter. Not to say that London's the most difficult place to walk in the world, certainly not, but it's a metropolitan area that's busy. And you got to stress test yourself in these tough environments to know you can do it in any environment. So constructive optimism, I don't want this to come across as like horseshoes or rainbows up your ass, because that's not the intention here. That's not what optimism means for me. I mean, mind you, would probably say I have a bit of that in me for sure. But it's looking at the opportunities of things and looking at things from the other side perspective to like get that perspective, to get that kick in the backside, to get going. Constructive optimism is so bloody key, and something you can impact on an everyday basis. You know, every day you're encountering things that are either shit or not shit. But it's how you choose to look at them that makes a difference. It's not what they are. This went from being the worst place to learn how to walk to being the best place to learn how to walk. And my attitude reflected that. It became a real something I looked forward to. I enjoyed the challenge. I enjoyed the opportunity to learn how to walk in the best place to learn how to walk in the world, because if I could walk here, I could walk anywhere.
All right, so now my favorite part of the episode, the expressions. And this expression is kind of housed in motivation. My motivation comes from a pretty dark place, I think. It's not rainbows and butterflies. There's one thing I'm going to give you on this podcast is authenticity. It's not always going to be pretty. It's not always going to be clean, but it's going to be straight up. It's going to be real. It's how I've experienced life, how I've experienced recovery. So hopefully that rings true. And the motivation comes from this dark place of chips on shoulders, man. Proving people wrong, man. That drives me every day. And that's two for the road. So two for the road doesn't make a lot of sense when I drop it like this. There's kind of a picture that goes with it. And it's a picture of like Noel Gallagher giving two fingers to a photographer. And essentially two fingers in the UK just means fuck off or up yours. It's essentially what two fingers to the road means. And a two for the road is one that I really enjoy, because it's just a way for me to know what I'm saying in kind of a playful, cheeky way. So two for the road. Anytime someone kind of steps to you or you want to drop the finger, I just go two for the road. And it's been a big motivator for me. And again, that motivation's kind of transitioned from proving people wrong to now helping people. So it's not still housed in this dark dungeon of motivation. It certainly was for a long time. Now it's transitioned to more of a helping, lending a hand and kind of helping people get back up to where they want, where they belong. But for a long time, it was really housed in this dark area of just like, you know what? You don't think I can do this? All right, bruv, two for the road. So that pairs with the second expression we got from this episode. And that's one of a similar vein. I was debating if I was going to do two on this episode. I've got a lot of them. They're kind of cut of the same cloth. And that's jog on. So jog on is one that I love. And essentially jog on just means fuck off. So, Dan, why'd you do this? Oh, jog on. Like, just fuck off. It's as simple as that. It's clean. You can drop it in a normal conversation. It's not as aggressive as dropping the F-bomb. But it's one that I certainly love and just kind of means get lost, get out of here. Fuck off. So jog on's been a big one for me. And again, these are housed in motivation. And I think proving people wrong has been a big part of my motivation to get back to where I'm now today. I mean, that authenticity piece is so big, right? Like, that's why are you telling me this stuff down? This is kind of a bit woo-hoo, like you're sharing a lot of stuff here. Yeah, I know. Like, cool. But the point of this podcast is to kind of share my process, documenting the process of, right? And that motivation to prove people wrong has driven me to get to where I'm now today. And my way to be is kind of happy-go-lucky, right? Which in Vancouver was quite fine because I had a big group of friends that insulated me. And I could kind of be that free and happy guy and just be insulated by that, by the shores, the harsh shores of reality. Not to say that England's out to get me, but let's just say the insulation isn't there that I had in Vancouver. And that can certainly be perceived as weakness, which is not how you want to be perceived, especially as a guy. And so you get people that sometimes step to you or just like challenge you. And with the brain injury, I'm not the best at gauging this. Like, I don't really know how to respond back to this as best I can. It takes me a minute to calibrate and respond back. And that can often be perceived as weakness or this guy's not going to stand up for himself. So it takes me a minute to like think about it and then I'll respond back in kind. It's been tough, man. I'll be honest with you. It's been tough. I've definitely been calibrating this and trying to stand up for myself as best I can in a way that's not going to be over-the-top response. So for those people that have done that, I want to say thank you. You know, you really showed me that I presented myself in a way that's perceived as weak, perceived as easy. And that's been a great lesson for me. It's really taught me that, you know, you need to toughen up a little bit. You need to kind of present yourself in a way that's not allowing yourself to be taken advantage of or perceived to be taken advantage of. So thank you, first of all. Secondly, as you may have guessed, is two for the road and jog on. All right, so we're going to do a summary from the episode. I did this a few back and got a lot of good response from it, so we're going to try and do a similar sort of thing. My way to be is kind of kiss, keep it simple, stupid. Let's keep it simple, yeah? So Yara's got half a heart that doesn't work properly, which is what she's been doing with, and it cannot be fixed but managed. She told me she was lucky to be born in Berlin at a time where she could have surgery to rectify this. Lucky to be born in Berlin. I know a lot of people would say, well, you weren't that lucky because you're born with a heart condition in the first place. But again, she's choosing to look at it from the optimistic point of view. You know, optimistic heart blog, that's her whole vibe. I think that mindset is so key to keeping her sane and keeping her progressing and improving. So she's walking around with a 78% oxygen level in her body from her heart, where you and I are walking around with a 99%. She said if we were about 85, we'd be on the floor. Again, she's choosing optimism with this. Lucky to be born in Berlin. kind of ties in with the golden rule, which is something I brought up. But essentially, the golden rule means it's not what you get hit with, but rather what you think about it that matters. I'll say that again. It's not what you get hit with, but what you think about it that matters. And that kind of ties into walking and tuning Broadway. This being the worst place to learn how to walk to being the best place to learn how to walk. I'm choosing to look at it from an optimistic point of view. This is kind of how you build this optimism in your life. And it's not saying that like life's all butterflies and rainbows, but you're choosing to look at the good of things, the good of things, and you're making the most of it, and you're kind of choosing optimism. I think it's something that both Yara and I both subscribe to. It's the only life she knew. So she was born with this, so she's the only life she really could know and what she knows, which is a bit different than my perspective, right? Like I was 28 years old when I had the brain hemorrhage, so I lived a healthy life up until then. So it's a bit different in how we approach that. And I think that she also mentioned that like she doesn't really want advice, but just someone just to talk to and listen to. And I think that's been a big thing for her. Whereas I found that I'm really curious to hear what other people do, what kind of things they do to survive and to thrive. When I go to these brain and survivor meetings, I'm kind of curious to hear, you know, how's their way to be? How are they treating things? How are they approaching life? What do they do? And I find statements like, I find that this helps. You're kind of framing things by saying, this worked for me, maybe it'll work for you. Don't ever say, you should do something, you should do this, you should do that. That's going to be, you know, a pretty quick way to get two for the road right to your face. It's like, straight to the face. That is not productive. It's not helpful. I know people are very cautious about not wanting to say, I have no idea what you've been through, or like, I don't want to assume like I know what you're talking about, but don't ever say you should do this, because for me at least, that makes me see red and really kind of fires me up. Yeah, this glass half full vibe kind of permeates everything that Yara always does. And the blog she started as a passion project, but it's kind of morphed into her self-therapy. And I can definitely relate to this. I think this podcast for me definitely started as a passion project and has quickly turned into kind of self-therapy. You know, sit on my couch and twiddle my thumbs and bare my soul for you guys to judge and and bear witness to. She said, your final thought was, you don't know how strong you are until your only option is to be strong. It was a pretty good way to end that, Yara. I like that a lot. That was cool. Follow her along on Optimistic Heart blog on Instagram. And Optimistic Heart on WordPress. Again, all those notes will be in the show notes. There are two themes that cut through this episode. And those are around optimism and the power that that has. And the power of proving people wrong and that two for the road attitude. And they're not mutually exclusive. So I want you to know that as a listener, my motivation comes from, you know, this dark, dreary place. It kind of is the yin and the yang of the optimistic part, right? Like it's not like a super clean view in that respect, but they're both needed and they're both important. Before you go, I got three quick things for you. The first is thank you. I'm not sure how you found this podcast, but I'm really grateful for your time and more importantly, your attention. The second is please share this podcast. Three people would be ideal. Add a notice to why you think it's relevant for them. You cannot mention me at PlayLLT across the socials. And third, and this is the most important one here, is the ask to give me a highlighted review on Apple Podcasts. Now, this is currency in the space and really important to get the podcast bumped up the rankings. Please drop a review and you may get featured in the next episode. Very important to note that reviews are only visible in the region where you're located, so North Americans cannot see EMEA, EMEA cannot see North Americans. This confused the hell out of me for a couple weeks. It is what it is. Move on. I'm past it. If you drop a good review, you may get featured next. We'll dive in one of those reviews right now. So today's highlighted review comes from Sophia. Again, this is based in the EMEA Apple Store, so it may not be visible for all of you. I can't even begin to say how moved I've been by Dan's journey.
What I find absolutely amazing and impressive is the perspective he has. What I'm very grateful of is life hacks he has taught me. I truly believe Dan's tips and tricks, life hacks, if you will be useful and helpful to so many people. Anyone going through anything will have something to take away from this podcast. Keep doing what you're doing, Dan. Thanks, Via. If you want to get featured in the next episode, make sure you drop in a highlighted review. Until next time.